One woman had complained to the Muhammad Talib that there is a plague out in our town, and daily there are deaths, one house, one person, two persons. Whatever is needed, I do. Offer condolences. If there is a need to help out in the ghusl, kafan, dafan, I do all that. But I don't get affected and I don't cry. So she was worried that is this not showing the right type of conduct or the right type of manners. Because at a funeral, when you hear of a tragedy, then your heart gets affected. And it is required that you show some sympathy by crying, etc. Now she says, I don't get affected, and I don't feel like crying. So I want to explain to her. This condition of yours is not any deficiency, it's not a defect, not a thing for you to be worried about. Because the whole purpose is what? Whole purpose is تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, to adorn yourself with the way of Allah Ta'ala, with the attributes of Allah Ta'ala, you adorn yourself. This is the whole idea in tasawwuf. You adorn yourself with the characters, say, call it the attributes of Allah Ta'ala, right? Like, for example, Allah Ta'ala is Jawad. He's most generous. So we show generosity. He's Rahim and Kareem. He's kind and compassionate. So we show compassion and kindness. He's Al-Wadud, he's loving, so we show love as well. He's Sattar, he covers people's mistakes, doesn't expose them, advertise people's faults. So we also have the same to cover people's faults. That's the idea. But in character, and in the attributes, there are two levels. See, one is the beginning and one is the end. When you talk about good character, for example, say you talk about Rahm, right? Rahmat. Then as far as a man is concerned, then there are two levels. Like you'll see in the tafsir, etc., when they talk about Rahm. Rahm, they will say, they will translate it as riqqatul qalb, right? That the heart softens, right? And then you show love to someone. So the first level is riqqatul qalb. Your heart gets affected. And then after that, you show some kindness, some love to the person. So the heart getting affected, and the heart getting softened, this is a human trait, right? It's not a trait that is divine. It's not Allah Ta'ala's trait. Because Allah Ta'ala is free of infial. See, nothing can influence Allah Ta'ala. He can influence, but nothing influences him. Right? A talk can influence you, can inspire you. Right, can overwhelm you. So Allah is not overwhelmed. There isn't anything that overwhelms Allah Ta'ala. Right? That's a human quality, to get overwhelmed, to become overcome with happiness or with grief and worry, all that. So this is a human thing, right? When it's a human thing, then it's a human weakness. I couldn't manage this, so I got overwhelmed. I became emotional. Don't people say, sorry, I'm a little bit emotional. Don't you hear this thing? Someone comes and talks to you, and then in the course of his conversation, then he begins to cry, and then he'll wipe his tears and say, sorry, I just became a little bit emotional, right? So this is a weakness, right? In some people, you'll get more of this, and some will get less of it. And you get a third class that don't get it at all, right? So this is on account of the weakness of the heart or the weakness of the mind that you get this infiali kayfiyat, right? And after that infiali kayfiyat, then you show the right character. Then you show kindness, compassion, love, etc. So when you talk about Allah is munazzah. This is why in all our ibadat, we say Subhanallah, right? Subhanallah bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Then Subhanakallahumma Rabbana. Then you read Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Right? So what are you showing? That Allah Ta'ala has got no weakness. He is pure and He's perfect through and through. That's what you're saying. When you say Subhanallah, He's got no weakness. We have some limitations, right? We work and we get tired, we want to rest. So there isn't a thing like tiredness by Allah Ta'ala. La ya'udhu hifzhuma. He doesn't get, nothing ties him up. See? You get tired, don't we get tired after some time? Like the malaika is one creation of Allah Ta'ala. They also don't get tired. Yusabbihuna al-layla wa an-nahara la yafturun. So, to get tired, etc., it's a human weakness. And Allah Ta'ala is free of all type of weaknesses. So He doesn't have any infial. Infiali kayfiyat He doesn't have. Yes, we do have that infiali kayfiyat. So, when we have that infiali kayfiyat, then we show it, you see. So when you say Subhanallah, this is what we are saying, that Allah has got no limits. Now why do we say it? Why do we say that repeatedly? We say it repeatedly to create that type of yaqeen. The type of yaqeen that is required, that Allah Ta'ala is unlimited. His ilm, etc. is not constricted, not limited, not restricted. So when you ask Allah Ta'ala, when you say Subhanallah, right? To show that He's got no limits. He must will it and it happens. To show that Allah is perfect, He's got no weaknesses, He's got no limitations. To show that, to you enforcing, you impressing upon that yaqeen, that Allah has got no weakness. So you're reaffirming it, you're strengthening it. So when you're asking now, you're begging Allah Ta'ala, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Malaika, when they were asked, "Ambi'hum, nabbi'uni bi asma'i ha'ula'i," then they said, "Subhanallah." Why they said, "Subhanallah, subhanaka la ilma lana"? They said that this perfection is yours. Yes, we as creation, as huge as we may be, as great as we may be, Jibreel Islam, just his two wings can cover the east and the west. Right? He's got over 500 wings he's got. So you can imagine now what will the other wings, what will happen, right? If he just spreads it out. So just two wings are enough to cover the entire universe. Right? Just two wings. Right? So that's Jibreel al-Islam and two wings of his. Right? But when Allah asked them, Nabbi'uni bi asma'i haula, so what is the answer? Subhanaka la ilma lana. See, for the start of with Subhanaka, so we thought, you know, we can do things. We thought that we can, because to be able to administer the operation of the universe, you need to have that ability, right? And that ability requires that you need to know the properties of things. Right? Everything has got a property. In this world, everything has got a property. Now, if you don't know the property of things, then you cannot administer. Right? For example, ice is cold, right? And cold has got a certain property, right? If someone is feeling too hot, then you give him something icy to drink, right? So you know the property of it. This is cold, and it will cool him, it will refresh him. But the malaika don't understand these properties. They don't have it. Because they don't get affected with cold, they don't get affected with hunger, they don't get affected with heat. So when they don't get affected, so they don't know what is the property, what this does. I know there's a thing like cold, I know there's a thing like hot. But what does it do, how does it affect the person? So when he doesn't know how it's going to affect, can the malaika administer the fizz? For example, a person is feeling hungry now. The malaika doesn't know. He knows the whole variety of food, chilies, pepper, salt, all that. Give him chilies. Now, the malaika don't know what is chilies. They don't know. Do they know what is food? So when he doesn't know what is food, then how can he administer the affair? So he knows the name, perhaps. This name, but the property he doesn't know. Nabbi'uni bi asma'i hawla means show us the name with the property. Right? The name and the property. So he may just know the name. This is chilies, right? But what's the property of chilies? It makes you jump. That they don't know. They don't know about it. So if they don't know, then how are they going to administer? Right? See, this will apply to food. It will apply to medication, right? So the doctor, the human doctor will know that this medicine has got this effect, right? Person is in pain. He's pain, excruciating pain. So malaika don't know what is pain. When they don't have the knowledge of pain. They don't know what is a painkiller, to how to suppress pain. They don't know it. So how are they going to treat, how are they going to run the affair? Can they run the affair? They can't run the affair. So someone that knows the name with the property can correctly run the affair. Now that is Hazrat Insan. Insan got the name and he knows the property as well. So that is why when Allah asked them, this is Subhanak, now we realize, we understand, you know, we can't manage this thing here. Subhanak la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. What you gave us, as we have an understanding, but to that point only, not beyond that point. Now the question comes up again, when you talk to students and they've got a questioning mind, right? Then why didn't Allah teach them the properties with the names? Right? Then what you are asking is, why weren't the malaika men? Now this is a property of men. That's something that is restricted to men, right? It's restricted to men. So if you give the malaika the property of men, then they are no more malaika now. Now they are men. Right? They have human feelings. You saying that, no, they are malakut, angelic, right? Angelic, malakut. So they don't have human feelings. They won't have that type of drive for eating, for lust, etc., temptation. They won't have that. But you saying, now give them the properties, give them the names with their properties, then what you're saying, then why didn't Allah make the malaika men? Then this is khalt-e mabhas. This is all out of the discussion. You're off the cause. Malaika have got certain qualities. Men have got certain qualities. That's why you call them men. Malaika have got certain qualities. Therefore you call them malaika. Right? If they didn't have that qualities, then you wouldn't have called them malaika. If they are temptation and lust, then you would have said they are human beings. Right? So, you see this Subhanaka. Subhanaka la ilma lana. Illa ma allamtana. So, there had to be someone that will be there will be such a creation that will be the perfect reflection of divine attributes. What? Had to be the perfect reflection of divine attributes, right? So there isn't anybody as perfect as man in reflecting divine attributes. Right? He's got that ability, right? Allah gave him that ability that he can reflect it, right? In a more comprehensive manner. Though he won't be perfect then too he won't become divine. He's just a reflection. See, like the sun, right? What do you say? It's an embodiment of heat. It's radiating heat, light, right? Well, the reflection of the sun is on that wall, right? Can you see now that it's as perfect as the sun? It's a minuscule, it's a minuscule of the heat, of that rays and of that light. This is a minuscule reflection. So there's no comparison. There's no comparison. Yes, from amongst the other creations, then man reflects the attributes of Allah Ta'ala more than anything else. You reflecting it, but more. But in all that, you must keep in mind, Subhanaka, that limitless creator is Allah Ta'ala. Unlimited creator is Allah Ta'ala. Perfect is Allah Ta'ala. You are just a reflection. You aren't perfect, you aren't complete, you aren't independent. You are totally dependent, totally helpless, totally useless. But yes, he's made it such that you can reflect. So therefore, you find the Quran Sharif, when some great feat has to take place, then the malaika, the anbiya, they correct the belief of people. Asif ibn Barkhiya, right? Rahmatullah alayhi, or radiyallahu anhu. He is one of the companions of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. And then, in a flash of an eye, he brings and transfers the whole arsh of Bilqis in the presence of Sulaiman alayhi salam. قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ tarfuk. Flash of an eye. And he brought it. But now, a Nabi is the most perfect creation of Allah Ta'ala. Right? There isn't anybody as perfect as a Nabi. That is why it is the Aqeedah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat that the Nabi is faultless before Nubuwwat and after Nubuwwat. No faults. He is the perfect. Why Allah Pak made the Nabi like that? He must be perfect before Nubuwwat and after Nubuwwat, is because he is a messenger to mankind. Right? And when you say he's a messenger, in other words, he is going to deliver the whole message of Allah Ta'ala. The message is going to be delivered sometimes physically, sometimes verbally, sometimes through his behavior and character, right? So if he does a wrong, that means He is betraying Allah Ta'ala. Allah asks him, do something, and he's doing something else. So he's contradicting, and he's betraying Allah Ta'ala in the message that was given to him. He was assigned to convey a message to Allah, to mankind. Right? And he did something contrary. So his mission was to convey, right? Sometimes through his behavior, sometimes through his action, sometimes to his words, right? And if he did anything wrong, that means he showed a different character than was assigned to him. See? Right? Now, like for example, I tell you, go and deliver this attar to so-and-so, right? Now you don't deliver this, you go and deliver another one. Say, boy, I didn't ask you to do this. You're doing wrong now. You're betraying, you're robbing, cheating. Don't you say that? I asked you to give this, why you give that one? Don't you say that? Don't you take it personally? That you're doing it wrong. So a Nabi, when he is chosen, then he is perfect. He won't make this type of mistakes. Otherwise, he will say that Nabi is faulting in his mission. And that is why Allah cleaned him up, saying, مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَنْ يَهُولُ. Right? It's not possible for a Nabi to be cheating. He's going to do exactly what Allah is going to say. In that respect, he is more or less like the malaika. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. They don't disobey Allah in any respect. In any way, they don't disobey. So they are created like that. The Anbiya are made like that, that they don't disobey. They can't disobey. But now, the Nabi, you know, he's a perfect creation. When he's a perfect creation, so on the one end, he will display something that is supernatural. Right? Now, why he has to display something that is supernatural is because he's saying that he's from Allah Ta'ala. Right? He's saying to people that I've come from Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ What I'm saying is from Allah Ta'ala. So he's saying that I am from Allah Ta'ala. Whatever message I'm bringing is not my own. Right. So the logical question is that, well, you are a man like us, بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ What makes you different from us? That's a logical question that will come to mind, that you are a man like us. يَأَكُلُ الطَّعَامُ يَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ You eat and drink, and you go about carrying out errands. So you are like us. When you are like us, then what makes you different from us? That you say that, no, you've been assigned by Allah Ta'ala. So what makes you different? So then the Anbiya now, then they are forced to prove themselves. So they will prove themselves by some type of a supernatural feat. Something that is not normal, abnormal, supernatural. They will do something that is different, right? When he does that something that is supernatural, then he understands that he has to correct his people, convince the kuffar, and his people, he needs to keep their faith and their iman correct. So therefore he'll say at the end, something, this is not of my own. So he also says, هذا من فضل ربي. This is the grace of Allah, not my own. ليبلوني أشكر أم أكفر. Why Allah Ta'ala has taught this? There's multiple reasons, but one very important reason is to see that I am not ungrateful. I'm thankful to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala has allowed good to flow out of my hands. It's possible, Allah Ta'ala has got the ability to allow wrong to flow in your hands. Doesn't he have the ability? Does anything force him, keep him away? Right? He's got the ability that you become the slave of your temptation, right? He's got the ability to do it. But now, he has stopped you from that. He's kept you away from that. And he allowed the good to flow at your hands. When he allowed the good to flow out of your hands, so what he's saying, لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ وَمَكْفُرُ For the good that is flowing in my hands, am I being thankful or am I being ungrateful for this? Am I showing gratitude or am I unappreciative? What am I? For the good that is flowing, then am I appreciative or unappreciative? What am I? So wherever there is something that is not normal, right, then you'll find the Anbiya is saying some words. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى Right? In the battle of Badr, perhaps Nabi Sallam had taken a handful of dust, right, and threw it on the lines of the kuffar. And they all became blinded for that moment, right? When he was leaving on his hijrah to Medina Munawwara, right, then he took a handful of dust and he threw it at them. مَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى So Allah Pak is clearing it up for people that don't mistake in this. This is our work. Right? A Nabi is a Nabi. He is a man. Right? And he's got all manly characteristics he's got. So this is something that is supernatural. This came from us, but at the hands of the Nabi. It's the work of Allah Ta'ala, but at the hands of a Nabi. So that is why you see the Subhanallah, right? That this unlimited power, unlimited control, unlimited treasure, right? That is Allah Ta'ala's. He is perfect. As far as we are concerned, we are all limited. All, everybody, any creation, he's got limitation. Just to the extent that Allah Ta'ala has allowed it, he's doing, and otherwise, he's nothing. See this, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, I was talking about that, right? So, in this, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, as far as a human being is concerned, then there is a bidayat to it, and there is a nihayat to it. The bidayat, the beginning, is رِقَّةِ قَلْبِ. Your heart softens, you want to cry, right? That's the beginning. And then the end of it is you end up being affectionate to the person, compassionate to the person, loving and kind. But the first inception, it kicks in, how does it kick in? You feel affected at heart, truly feel affected at heart. So that's the first. And then after you get affected, then the generosity flows at your hands. Right? So now this heart being overwhelmed, this is a human weakness. It's a human trait. It's a human trait. And this trait comes in because of your inability, right? You get these feelings. Your inability to handle that situation, you begin to cry, you become overwhelmed, right? You become overtaken by situations. Why? Because of an inability. See? So this is a human thing. And when it's a human thing, it's called kayfiyat. Now, here there's a very important lesson that you learn, right? That you understand from this that all these kayfiyat are not matlub. Right? All these type of feelings that you have that will be the catalyst for you to do things, right? It's a feeling, right? That feeling then motivates you, right? It drives you. Right? So these feelings that motivate and drive you really is not the matlub. Right? You made dua, so you was crying. Right? You had a good dream that you did something. Right? You saw some noor or something and it drove you, it motivated you, right? So it drove you forward. So these feelings are not matlub, they are not something that you must desire for. So many times it happens, person is doing some dini work and he's in a high. So he says, my iman is high. And he doesn't do that high, the iman is low. No, the motivation is low. But today the motivation, the iman is still the same. But before the drive was very strong. Now the drive is not like what it was originally. On one occasion there was a drive, and the drive was very strong. Doing it, right? Like you see, when you're in the madrasa, then all the namaz, jamaat, etc., everything happening, making zikr after fajr, after maghrib, making tilawat. And when you go home, do you have all these things happening after fajr, after maghrib? Do you have all these things happening after isha talim? Do you have this all this happening? You're the same person. You're not different. You're still the same person. You know that in the madrasa you do this, and you do this after maghrib. You do this after isha. But do you get down to doing these things? So that motivation is not like what it was in the madrasa, right? So this kayfiyat began to change. And the kayfiyat is not the thing that is desired. Then what is desired? The desired thing is the amal that comes afterwards. That's the nihayat. You see the bidayat and the nihayat. Right? So Mura is answering this woman here now, that when you got the nihayat, then you got everything, you don't need to worry even. Right? See, for example, someone is not feeling like tearing, right? But he's doing his namaz, making his zikr, etc. So is he short anywhere? He's not short. But if that person only goes down to cry and see his dreams and not doing any amal, then he gets down, he's crying all the time, and he's seeing dreams and light and noor and all that, but he doesn't get down to do any work. I say, is he getting anywhere? Is he making progress? Huh? It's like, you know what, someone was telling me, now they got this some new type of computer, right? I think they call it virtual reality, right? So, one is this virtual reality, and there is something that is similar to this, right? So, it's like the computer is created like a glass, right? Put it on. About five dimensions it's got. Now, for example, now, you know, when you are boarding a plane and the plane is taking off, the feelings that you get, right? Now, when you put the glasses, you will begin to feel like you're boarding the plane, right? Makkah Mukarrama, right? You're in the Haram Sharif, you're making tawaf, right? It makes you feel like that, right? As though it's real. That's why they call it virtual reality, right? So I ask you, when you put that goggles on and you begin to feel like that, do you get the sound of tawaf? But they have got something like that. I don't know if any of you all heard of this. You'll come and give me a lot of stories I get. See? So they got something like that that can create that type of feelings. Right? Now, when you created that feelings for yourself, you get the sound of nawaz. But you got all those feelings, all that feelings that happens, you get all those feelings. Right? For example, now, someone likes to hear this, get a feeling of excitement now. That same thing will show you, like as though you are a 50-story building, right? And like, you know, the feeling when you're dropping from the 50-story, so the same feeling you get, but you'll get hurt. You don't want to get hurt. So it creates that feeling, but without that feeling, you don't get that feeling. So when Allah asks you to do work, is not to create kifiyat in you, is to create amal into you. So the nihayat is maqsood, not the bidayat. But this is a topic of its own. Inshallah, some other day, and discuss further on this thing.